Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another really nice-looking day. A little overcast a couple of times, but it has been a really pleasant day, warm. I mean, it really, we feel like, you know, spring has been around for a while, the way the temperatures have been. Do what?
It's humid.
Oh, yeah, it really is. Had, again, a couple of other things to try to get done outside, and had to re-hit the shower. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's Coach Don Dunn. Bill here as Dan now will not be back in town until this weekend, as last night the Troy women in the women's NIT knocked off Illinois State 99-96. Wow, I mean really high scoring game, a game in which they jumped out early, fell behind, trailed going to the fourth quarter, and won. So as Dan was telling us on yesterday's drive, they have a rematch with Buffalo because Buffalo won last night as well. And how ironic is this, that the team that Troy opened the season playing, Buffalo, at Buffalo, they'll get a rematch in Buffalo on Saturday. So almost, it will be 5 months and one day after they played. They played all the way back on November 4th, and Buffalo beat Troy 80-78. And now these teams will play for the Women's NIT Championship Saturday in Buffalo. So so that's where Dan is. Our other normal Thursday guest slash co-host, Justin Ferguson, is out in San Antonio covering Auburn basketball, as he has done. He has been to every single game, including road games this year. And he wrote a really a nice piece a couple of days ago just about how thankful he is to be here, how things have changed for him. You know, he was with the Athletic a few years ago, and they were much more into covering football than basketball. But he had been told that if Auburn, and nobody saw Auburn going to the Final Four, but he was told that if Auburn went to the Final Four, they would send him and he'd get to go. Well, it turned out Auburn did go to the Final Four, but the Athletic sent somebody else who they felt was closer. And he said he saw the writing on the wall, and sure enough, within a couple of months, there were big layoffs at the Athletic, and Justin was unfortunately one of those guys. Then he was right in here, you know, on the air with the midday show, and encouraged by a lot of folks to give it a shot on his own, and thus started The Observer. I believe Dan at least helped, may have come up with the name for the podcast slash work that Justin does, and it's been very, very good for him. And so he's out in San Antonio, so I don't know if we'll have an opportunity to talk with him before maybe Monday. And that would be great if we're all in San Antonio talking there. So we've got a fun show, though, for you here on the Thursday Drive with Bill and Don. We've got our other regular Thursday guest, David Pascal, is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour from Chattanooga. And then we do have an interview with Dylan Cardwell for Tiger Takes that will run at the bottom of the hour. Now, Auburn players today, this morning, met with the media. I know Janai Broome, Tahad Pettiford. There were like waves of players meeting with the media today. And if we get a chance, we can run some of that audio as well. Janai telling the media he expects to be 100% by Saturday. Now, I would take anything, man, if he's over 80%, but anything close to 100% would be fantastic if Janai can do that. So we'll see if we can get you some audio from the player interviews out in San Antonio today. Today media had a little opportunity with Butch Thompson,
mm-hmm.
as the Tigers are hosting Alabama.
Big series.
Starting tomorrow in what looks more and more like it's going to be a two-day series.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it a little yesterday, the fact that there is a very high percentage of not just rain, but thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you're having to deal with lightning being within 7 miles, even if it's not raining at the moment, there is a very good possibility that that could result in Sunday's game being moved up to Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, we had talked yesterday when Jason Caldwell was in here, we had talked about that ball game being pretty early, but Butch Thompson today said, look, he'd rather try to condense things as much as possible, and he understands that you can't start an inning within an hour of a scheduled televised game. And Saturday night's game, the 7 o'clock, is a 7 o'clock game, and a lot of people were like, "Hey, got to move that because Auburn basketball is playing at 5:09." Well, they can't,
right?
Because it's an SEC network broadcast.
Yeah.
So the thought is, we were thinking, well, maybe you play it at 11 or 12, but Butch is saying, no, if they have to play two, he's going to want to start at 2, and hope the ball game's over by 5. Figure most baseball games last around 3 hours. If the ball game's over at 5, then people get a chance to have a break, watch the beginning of the Auburn basketball game, and then, because they have to, start the second game at 7.
Yeah. Also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a viewing party at Neville. I believe they're opening that.
I've seen a lot of posts about that.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten anything from athletics.
Right. I haven't seen anything official.
But I, as a matter of fact, yeah, I got 3 different notes from people today saying, see that the arena is going to be open at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I haven't gotten anything from athletics. Let me check my emails here in the last few minutes.
I saw that or dreamed it, I guess.
the only thing that I've gotten from Auburn Athletics lately is the official word about Auburn's addition from the transfer portal, Keyshawn Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn signing the leading scorer from the Big 12 this past year. Keyshawn Hall played at Central Florida. He is a native of Cleveland, Ohio, played his freshman year at UNLV, transferred to George Mason, where he was an all A-10 second team selection, averaging 16.6 points and 8.9 rebounds, and then this year transferred to Central Florida. See, that's the thing. It's like, and it's not, it's like, well, it's common now.
Yeah.
But he's going to be at his fourth different school in 4 years, and he's looking to become an all-conference player at 3 different conferences in 3 years.
Pretty amazing.
Because he was all A-10 second team 2 years ago. He was all Big 12 second team this year. As I said, he led the conference in scoring with 18.8 points. He averaged 7.1 rebounds, 2.4 assists a game. He went off for 40 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists against Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
He is a 6'7", 235-pounder. And Bruce Pearl saying he can play multiple positions, both offensively and defensively. And a guy who can create on his own. And Bruce Pearl said, I thought the biggest factor in his decision was his desire to finish out his college career on top and win a championship. So there's the first addition for Auburn from the transfer portal. I hope that's right, what you were saying about Neville Arena. But I haven't been able to get that confirmed, mm-hmm. at least from the athletics department yet. But that would be great, I mean, because there are going to be tons of people. And if you have something like that too, if you are at baseball, you just be able to go over to Neville,
mm-hmm.
Watch for a little while.
Get something to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that you can't.
Because, well, that had been the other thing that I was told was, yeah, Neville's going to open at 4 o'clock with limited concessions.
Mm.
But again, maybe I missed the email. Maybe I deleted it. But just keep that in mind. Speaking of baseball, you know, Tex called in a couple of days ago, and I don't think we may have mentioned it yesterday, but want to let folks know, if you are interested in some excellent seats, Tex has a pair of tickets behind home plate, not in the lower section, but above the concourse. So, I mean, they're really, really good seats. And he's not going to be able to be in town for the Auburn-Alabama baseball series. But what he would like to do is, you know, turn this into a charity type thing where he will let the tickets go for what he paid for them, but he will match that, and then the money would go to the Auburn wheelchair tennis team. So if you want a couple, if you want a pair of tickets for either tomorrow or one of the following two games, which may very well both be played on Saturday, but if you want tickets to either games 1, 2, or 3, Tex will let you have them at face value, and then he will turn around and use that money, match it, and the proceeds going to go to the Auburn wheelchair tennis team. So if you're interested, you can just call us on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390, and the Drive Hotline is sponsored by Skybar. But if you call us, we can put you in touch with Tex so you can get tickets to any of those ball games against Alabama. As I said, we had a chance to talk to Butch Thompson, and, you know, honestly, Butch probably sounded as frustrated after the loss to UAB night before last that I've heard him, and just sort of asked him about that today. And he said, look, he always is trying to be positive, but he knows his players do as well, that they can be better than that. He said if he felt that they were doing everything that they possibly could and he felt like, you know, they couldn't do any better and they fell short, well, that's fine. But this was one of those situations where they all know that they can do better, and that bar has been raised a little bit, and they've got to make sure they don't dip below that bar again. So it's Auburn-Alabama baseball this weekend. We'll let you hear some of the comments from Butch in a little while, but as we get ready for our first break, definitely want to be talking to you about basketball in the Final Four. Did see one other thing, though, that I wanted to get to. And if you tuned in for the last hour, you may go, what happened to On the Line? Well, both guys handle the play-by-play action for high school. Jacob, of course, Auburn High, and Christian Lee Scott. And they had ball games, so they had to take off. But I heard one thing as I was pulling in that I thought was really interesting. And you may know this guy, Don. Mm-hmm. Mickey Joseph has been a coach for a long time LSU assistant.
Right.
He was in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. He is now the head coach at Grambling.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some interesting comments about the current state of athletics that we are in right now. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I saw the article. I did not read it yet.
Here's what he said. He said, look, it's understandable if a player is at a small school or a school that's not as visible and a player really shines, has a great year, that bigger schools are going to come after him. He goes, that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. He said, but, you know, you have situations now where there's more money and it's up front and the money's involved. And he goes, and we don't have the money to be able to compete with that. And he goes, but it's fine for the player to be able to do that. He goes, but I think there ought to be something that we receive, the school that loses a player receives in return. Now, he was speaking specifically of, you know, smaller schools, you know, group of five or lower division schools. But I think this could pertain to any school that has a player leave and go somewhere else. He said, give us a percentage of what that player's getting NIL so that we have something to try to then go out and refill that spot. I mean, that would have seemed insane a few years ago, but now I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to say, all right, 10% or there's like basically it's not a finder's fee. It's like you're rewarded for developing this player, for doing something that has gotten him to the point where he is worth, you know, X amount of dollars.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because someone like Grambling, you know, Western Kentucky, these smaller schools, that kills them when they take a really good player.
Well, look,
and
look
gets at, nothing in return.
Look at St. Francis this year. St. Francis makes the NCAA
and
tournament.
There's nobody left,
and now they're going D3.
Yeah,
because they say they don't have the resources, they don't have the money to compete in this NIL era.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So I mean, at least if they got something back for it, they might at least be able to compete.
Right. Right, yeah,
so,
that's
I mean,
tough.
I wonder if you do it for every single school at every level, because sometimes you might be, you know, at some of the larger schools, they might be sort of encouraging a guy to go find someplace else. So I don't know that you'd expect to be reimbursed or get something for that. But I can understand at smaller schools or at group of five, players that are going up.
Right.
Instead moving of, up
to
for there to be some kind of reimbursement or development fee or something like that.
Yeah, it would not affect an Auburn as much as a UCLA or somebody like that. Yeah.
I mean, look at Auburn's basketball team right now. Morehead State would have gotten something for Jani Broome, Florida International for Denver Jones. I mean, just and on and on. I mean, where these guys came from. So love to hear your thoughts on that. What do you think about that proposal? Anything on your mind sports-wise? We're just underway, and we'll get to our first break here on the Thursday Drive. The Drive. With Studio Drew at the controls. And again, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. What do you think? I mean, again, more and more people are saying this could be the best Final Four as far as the four teams, their qualifications, how strong this Final Four is of all time.
Yeah, no doubt. You look at their records, you look at how they've played all year, you look at their players, you look at their coaches, you know, the tradition of Duke, the name, Auburn, what a great year they've had, how strong they've been, who they've played, who they've beaten, and Houston, which has been tough all year. I don't think you could have four better teams. I don't know if there are four. Well, there's not.
Look, they got the seeding right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, because the one seeds are all there. And in the Elite Eight, you had 3 2 seeds.
Yeah.
St. John's was the only two seed that wasn't there. And the team that was there was a three.
And I think,
so, I mean, there's never been seeding like
and
where
I think
you had
even in the,
that.
In the Sweet 16, was it the high seed was Arkansas at an 8 maybe?
They were a 10.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, you know they're more talented
than
that.
Yeah, but so I think it's been a great year for basketball, one of the best, and SEC has been the best. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, again, Auburn and Florida. Meanwhile, Houston and Duke on the other side. And I know the favorites right now are Duke and Florida, but I don't think anyone would be surprised at Houston winning. I see a lot of people are, gone a step farther than we have here. I said, you know, it's a great situation for Bruce to be able to play the card of lack of respect. We're the underdogs.
Yeah.
Because Auburn is. Auburn is the underdog here against Florida, and they are considered the longest shot to win, although it's not a terribly long shot.
No.
but I hear a lot of people saying this has got to be good because Florida beat Auburn, and it's tough to beat a team twice.
Yes.
That there is something to that, but if you're gonna go with that as being the only thing, then I guess you definitely want Duke to beat Houston.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a team that you've beaten that is playing you.
Right.
And honestly, I wonder if I just talking to folks, I think if Auburn fans had their druthers, that's the way they'd rather have it.
That's what I would like to see. But, yeah, just win this first one. Don't worry about really who you're going to play.
Yeah, don't worry at all about anything except this game.
But Saturday, what an exciting day for basketball. I mean, I think the first weekend and this day is the most exciting, of course, during the tournament.
Well, it's extremely exciting when your team's in it.
Yeah.
That makes it so much more exciting than ever.
You like watching the other guys, but, man, when your team's in it, your school, it's unbelievable. And don't take it for granted because you never know.
No, you're
and that's
you're
why I'm so glad you're getting to go. It's a great deal.
Yeah, it's. I will say, hey, folks that are headed out there, if you're headed out and you haven't checked the weather out there lately, you might want to check it. Because I had seen, you know, when we originally made the decision to go, I was looking and seeing that, hey, it's in the 90s. And it was supposed to be in the upper 80s when we get there, and I'm thinking, okay, shorts.
Yeah.
And now I look, and the high on Saturday and Sunday are both going to be in the 60s, and the lows are going to be in the low 40s. It's I'm having to rethink what we're packing to be taken out there. But hey, who cares?
Are you going to make it to the Alamo? Are you going to have time?
I hope so. A lot of it depends on Auburn.
If we win, yeah,
because I mean, we're not getting out there until Friday. Yeah. Late afternoon.
Yeah.
And then Saturday is the ball game. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll go over to Riverwalk. We'll do some of those things Saturday morning. Love to go to the Alamo. Love to see some other things. But that would be perfect if we had all day Sunday, knowing that we don't have to worry until Monday night.
There'll be a lot of Auburn people at the Alamo.
I'm sure hoping so.
Yeah, and you can get you a great breakfast burrito, Bill, down there too.
I would sure hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, hey, last night I heard from a guy that I haven't seen in decades. we talked about the fact that Auburn was a very good wrestling program.
Yes.
That's one of the sports that Coach Dye had to cut when Title IX came
along. And I know he did not like that decision.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Tough.
No, but a good friend of mine was an SEC champ. I believe it was at 158.
Wow.
Even though he's about 170-something pounder back then. You know what I mean? Those guys, it's amazing.
They cut weight.
Cut that weight.
They made mean as
but,
heck.
But he was from El Paso. He got in touch with another good friend of ours, just checking, seeing who was coming, and they said, I did. I see this message that I'm included in on, and it's like, I don't recognize this number. And then it's like, and now it's funny, my friends used to call me Cammy. I mean, when I see a text from, hey, Cammy, it's Pat Moore.
It's old guy.
It's like, oh, wow, man. Haven't seen him in decades, but he's going to try to make it to San Antonio, and said he may not be able to do it Saturday, but he's hoping on Sunday. And it's like, well, then I hope we win.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see him. Plus, that would give us time to get some other things.
Exactly.
Get some other things taken care of. All right. We've been checking. Do we have access to the
–
Oh, we'll get there's multiple interviews with players. There's Tahad Pettifer, Janai Broome. I think there may be a couple of others, but thought it'd be great if we could run some of those for you here this afternoon. We also have some Butch Thompson audio. So I tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll run some of the audio from today's NCAA Final Four player press conferences when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-564-1840. We don't have any calls at the moment, so thought we'd let you hear some of the comments from the player interviews today. And obviously, one of the most sought-after players is Jahni Broome, who is one of the finalists for Player of the Year. He's making everybody's All-America teams. He's been named the National Big Man of the Year. And Jahni, of course, coming off that ugly-looking fall that he took where he rolled his ankle and hyperextended his elbow, it appeared, all at the same time.
Yeah.
But then in an unbelievable, you know.
Classic.
It was just crazy to see Jahni come back on the court.
And just walk
and
out.
Just sort of point, walk on out and play. He pulls down a one-arm rebound. And then nails the three that pretty much was the final, final nail in the coffin for Michigan State. So Jahni, most of Auburn's players who get significant playing time were available today, and we've got audio from quite a few of them, but thought we'd start off with Jahni.
New school, they're more fiery, you know, a little more ramped up. VP kind of more old school. He kind of has most of them. He can get ramped up, get fired up, he gets to be laid back and kind of understand a little better. Yeah, they kind of have a good knowledge of each other.
How does that play well for from a player's perspective, just knowing that what you're going to get from each guy and getting a little bit of both when it comes to just kind of old new school?
It helps you a lot. You know, most players can't handle some type of coaching. Some players can, but you know, they both have different styles. So, you know, if you don't really understand one of them, other people can talk to you and explain a little to you a little better for you. You know,
when you said you used to take a lead, that
And they're a good front court. You know,
5 minutes.
They play physically hard.
Why have you been so boring? It's been so boring. Like, give a smile, nothing. Good. Give us something good.
I need a funny question, though.
You got nothing good?
I need a funny question.
We got
a funny
somebody. Question. This guy will ask
it. Hey, Jahni, who would play,
is anybody capable?
Who would play you in a movie?
Who would play me in a movie?
Yeah.
Can't wait for this one.
I don't know. I'm like,
I'm one over. We'll see, but you guys kind of have an underdog mentality. You guys kind of thrive on that?
We thrive off being us, you know. Y'all got us underdogs, that's fine. You know, we think we're the best team here, so however the narrative wants to get painted, you know, we come here to win.
BP mentioned that, you know, from the beginning, wasn't going to practice you those first couple of days. Do you, a couple injuries this season for you, do you feel like you've sort of figured out how to handle stuff like that, you know, rest versus kind of pushing it?
I told him yesterday I was good, you know, he set me up for precaution, but, you know, Saturday I'm going to be 100%.
Jahni Broome, and you could tell there were a couple of actually Auburn beat reporters there at the end. As that was Nathan King there at the end, and I thought I heard Justin Ferguson in the background early on about the only thing I could understand was Kirk Sampson saying 5 minutes.
But
you can tell some of the national guys just they either haven't followed teams or they run out of questions
right.
to ask. You know what? Come on, give us something good.
Yeah.
Give us something funny. And Jahni's going like, well, ask me something funny then.
Yeah.
I mean,
or
then who's going to play you in a movie? What kind of question is that to ask somebody at the Final Four?
I don't know, Bill. It's crazy.
That's
don't get
guys,
me started.
Guys like that, and
they haven't done their homework.
Well, they shouldn't be there asking questions if that's the kind of questions they're going to ask.
I agree 100%.
I mean, ask about, you know, the game.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear about the team,
mm-hmm.
the opponent, the game, his health, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, he'd already said before that started running, he'd said that his shoulder feels fine. He was out at practice, and, you know, practice was open for the media, and everybody said he looked fine at practice, so he should be good to go on Saturday at 5:09. Jahni, just one of a few players that was interviewed today. You got Tahad. Let's run Tahad Pettiford, who has really, in games, has stepped up all year long.
Something like that before high school, just my high school career.
What players did you play before that?
Sports U, and then
Ed Bright and those guys.
Eddie
Bright.
No, it was Brian Coleman, but he passed away. Yeah, he was a coach there, and then before them, it was Hilltop and Youth when I was younger.
Do you kind of think this might, like, obviously everything you just mentioned kind of probably helped you develop a little bit of thick skin, and seemed like with the trash talk situation last week, you're just, like, going to let your game kind of speak for itself. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that kind of the mindset that you have when you operate?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I don't really like to go back and forth with a lot of people, but, you know, if you're going to start, I'd gladly start with you, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Excuse me, sorry. Playing older people, like you said, you know, I'm sure there were plenty of punks along the way, right? I mean, what was that like as a kid, always playing older?
Being pushed around, you know, obviously not being the smallest, the weakest on the floor, it just gave me the mindset, you know, I don't like being pushed around, so I knew, like, once I told myself, once I get older, I'm not gonna let nobody do it.
You took all the attention, trying to kind of keep it under control. I've just been asking, have you seen, like, all the TikTok edits that people make about you? Do you see all that? Do people send that kind of stuff to you?
Yeah, it pops to my For You page. I see it. You know, I like it and like? Stuff. I mean, it's cool. You know, obviously, just seeing yourself and people showing love. Obviously, I like to show love back. If I see it, I'm gonna like it or something, repost it. But it's really cool.
Yeah. You've been talking about playing guys bigger. But noticed the other day, practice, y'all had like one on one. It was you and Janai, and you were just giving it to him. Like how much do you enjoy kind of going after, you know, other guys on the team and good healthy competition?
I mean, it's fun. Obviously, this team are really competitive, and we play one-on-one, we like to talk a lot of smack, so just being able to compete with my guys, you know, and just know it's all love, it's really good.
Who do you think's most competitive guy on the team?
Most competitive?
Chaney.
Yeah, Chaney's by far.
Simo and Chad kind of said that they like the underdog status that Auburn kind of comes in with, and you guys are a team full of underdogs. You guys kind of thrive in that?
For sure. You know, we have a lot of guys that came from close to nothing, you know, JUCO, D2, the lowest you can get, and just seeing them where they're at now and how far they came is really nice. And just knowing that, you know, half of these guys probably didn't have offers playing against guys that five stars coming out of high school, whatever college they came from, being the highest recruit. And these guys are showing that, you know, they're up there with them.
You consider yourself an underdog even though you're five star and freshman?
I would say I was, but at this point, you know, whatever people say I am, I just say okay to it.
How much did the scout change at all from last time you played Florida now?
Not that much at all. Obviously, they added another two players that didn't play last time we played them. So just being able to maintain them and do what we have to do and play our game.
What have you worked on?
Todd Pettiford, pretty much all the players made available for the media earlier today, but he has really played well all year long, but especially in big ball games. I mean, the moment never phases him. He is cool
as
can
well-spoken,
be.
Yeah, well-spoken, man.
All right, 334-321-1390. There may be some more Auburn basketball recruiting news before long. Some Kansas folks are feeling that Flory Badunga, the backup big man to Hunter Dickinson at Kansas this past year, who chose Kansas over Auburn, the McDonald's High School All-American this past year, 6'9", and a guy that long arms. I mean, he's got the arms of a 7-footer, very athletic, runs the court very well. But a lot of Kansas folks feel like he is very close to announcing his commitment to Auburn. So we'll see if he becomes the second player. It could be the second player in 2 days to be announcing that they'll be coming to Auburn for the next season. 334-321-1390 is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it, and Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Great. Thank you.
Bill, you're talking about questions in press conferences when somebody has obviously run out of questions. This is not Auburn, but it's a Super Bowl question, and you've got to remember this.
There have been some of the dumbest questions ever asked at Super Bowl press conferences.
This is top five. When some reporter asked Doug Williams how it felt to be a black quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I remember.
You're right. I mean, there's some that are dumb. That one is just like, yeah, okay.
Well, okay, I'm glad you remember it because, you know, at least I could say you cannot make this stuff up.
No, no, you're right. I wonder how some folks get credentialed. I really do.
Fraud. have a good trip.
Oh, thanks, Michael. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Looking forward to it, trying to, make sure we get away soon enough. And, looking forward to being in San Antonio tomorrow afternoon. 334-321-1390. All right, let's see. Who else do we have? You said there was a Miles Kelly. Let's run Miles. Okay. Miles Kelly, who is, along with Tahad Pettiford, the newcomers who are seeing the most playing time for the Tigers this year and could be a critical factor against Florida, because if he can, if he can heat up a little bit from the outside, it'll take so much pressure off Janai and then also free up Tahad in Denver and others to be able to score as well. So here's some of the comments from Miles Kelly today at the media op.
It came about earlier in the summer. One of the student interns for the strength program, Caleb Jones, he started it and came in the locker room, and that's something that we just ran with.
Thank you.
Of course.
Miles,
talk about that first quarter game. What do you remember from that game? What went wrong? What went right?
I just think we didn't come out with enough energy. I think at that moment of the season, we kind of got complacent, and I think we really turned that around since then. And we're definitely going to be locked in and ready for this matchup Saturday.
Miles, CBM and CMO kind of called you guys a team full of underdogs. Is that something you guys thrive on and consider yourself?
I mean, for sure. I mean, it definitely helps with the chip on our shoulder. I think this team has been overlooked a lot, and just us as players individually and as a team. And that's something we got to come out Saturday and prove to the whole world and play with that chip on our shoulder.
You think there's ever been a number one overall seed that was overlooked?
Man, I mean, I can't remember, but it is what it is. We got to come out there Saturday and prove everybody wrong.
Do you remember the first ever Final Four game that you watched, and how did you feel to now be at the Final Four?
It's a dream come true for me. Honestly, this is the moment I've been waiting for my whole college basketball career. So for it to finally be here, I'm soaking every moment and not taking it for granted.
What is the first ever game you watched? First ever Final Four game you watched?
What is the first ever Final Four game I watched? Man, I don't know the first Final Four, the exact game, but I do remember one of my favorite March Madness was with Kimber Walker and UConn. So yeah, for sure.
I wanted to ask you, how has Auburn made you a better player since you got here?
Auburn?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I just think the main thing here for me defensively, they really put an emphasis on defense and teaching me a lot of defensive principles and stuff that they go by. I think just defensively I've really taken that step in terms of my game and as a player, and I think that's really something that BP and the coaching staff has really helped me grow my game.
There has to be a great team culture here to make the Final Four in 19, to be back now, all the success you guys have had. Mm-hmm. What is it, like, what other than, like, on the court, defense, et cetera, what are the core principles that make you guys such a great culture?
Just we're a family. I think that's the biggest thing, and one of the biggest things of me coming here was just how they treated everybody like family, and once you get in that circle, I mean, it's just a huge, big family. The Auburn family, the whole team, the staff, is everybody's connected, and we're super close.
Was there kind of a moment for you where you're like, oh my God, we're actually in the Final Four, or was it more so like
It definitely was. Before we left to come here, we was watching film on Florida, and it really sunk into me that we're one game away from the national championship, and I'm so grateful and blessed for this moment, and I wouldn't wish nothing else to be here.
Is this kind of what you expected or wanted when you came to Auburn this offseason?
This is exactly what I wanted and expected for this season, how this season to go. I knew we could do some special things, and I knew national championship was very achievable for us coming in.
Miles, when you look back at that Florida game the first time around, Clayton was really good. Do you personally, going up against them this time, trying to play better on defense?
I mean, I think the best thing we've done since March, we've really taken our matchups personally and locking the other team down, and that's something that we have to do Saturday is make their guards uncomfortable. And it starts with the guards. We got to get up in there, make them uncomfortable, and pressure them, and make their looks harder.
Miles Kelly, and there's no question, the defense that he is playing, I don't think anybody expected that when he came in. He had the reputation at Georgia Tech. He was their leading scorer. He was their go-to guy. And I don't know that it wasn't expected of him, but he just wasn't known for his defense. But he has really become an excellent on-ball defender. And down the stretch, he's probably been Auburn's second-best rebounder behind Jani Broom.
Yeah, you know, we knew he could shoot, but like you say, his other contributions have been excellent.
And what's great is even if he's having a night when he's not shooting, he's still
playing hard.
He's playing really good defense and rebounding.
Yep. Just another plus.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we need to get to our final break. Terry, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. SPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Thursday with Bill and Coach Don Dunn. And let's get to The Drive hotline. Let's get back there. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Coach. And how y'all doing?
Doing good, thanks.
Great to talk to y'all. Bill, how long are you going to be out there?
Till Auburn loses.
Okay, well.
Or wins the whole thing. I mean, so I dropped the dog off at the place where he's going to stay. And I said, look, we'll either be back Sunday night, so I'll see you Monday morning. Hopefully I don't see him till Wednesday morning, because if Auburn wins, then we'll be flying back on Tuesday.
Well, try Shiloh's Deli while you're out there.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. I will try that. Never been to San Antonio, so I'm looking forward to it.
I know. I've spent a lot of time out there, and I really like it. Really like it a lot out there. It's a great town. I always said that if Auburn got another shot at Florida, they'd beat them. I felt like Florida caught Auburn
right
at the right time.
Well, I mean,
like
the thing
caught
is,
them at the right time. The
Florida
time.
Florida is favored. I mean, Florida's got to be feeling really good about themselves. They're the favorite. I love the fact that Auburn can play the underdog role, and they can, you know, they're looking back at what they didn't do well at Neville.
And I think if it's Auburn-Duke matchup, I think Auburn wants another shot at Duke.
I agree.
I think they want another shot. I think Duke is plenty beatable. Everybody says they're not beatable. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're very beatable. They're just not beatable in Cameron Indoor Arena.
Well, I tell you what, all four of these teams are very capable of beating any of the other three. But I think that also means that any of the four could lose to any of the other three.
Right, exactly. It could be a Florida-Houston final for all we know.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So, y'all take care. Bill, have a good time.
Oh, appreciate it, Terry. Shiloh's Deli is what Terry's saying. So, yeah, we'll keep that one in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's what makes it such an interesting Final Four. Usually there is one team that is the big favorite. Most of the time there is a real long shot.
Right.
The Cinderella, the darling that everybody's like, oh, the underdog that doesn't have much of a shot. Everybody's got a shot here.
Yeah.
It just depends on who handles the pressure, who makes the fewer mistakes and just comes through and you know, makes the plays when they need to.
Yeah,
and any of these teams could do it.
Yeah. I think rebounding and foul shooting will be a big, big factor, like in every game.
Boy, that's something. You know, we haven't talked a lot about that. Auburn needs to tighten that up a little bit. I mean, remember at one time they had four guys shooting 85%+.
Yep.
And a couple of the better free throw shooters have struggled a little bit lately. So, yeah, when you get the opportunity in a Final Four, every point
counts.
Matters. Yeah. I mean, anytime you have an opportunity to score a point, you want to take advantage of it. So you're right, Don. I think free throw shooting could be very, you know, very important. Not just a situation where one team gets 50 and the other team gets 30, but it's if it's a tight ball game and both teams are even, then the one that cashes in there at the free throw line could be the one that comes away with a win. All right, fun first hour here. We let you hear some audio from some of the players. When we return for hour number two, we're going to check in with David Paschal from Chattanooga. We've got an interview with Dylan Cardwell, And if we have time, we've got some Butch Thompson audio as well. So, but your calls come first. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, as we hit the halfway mark here on the Thursday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive. It's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls on a nice-looking Thursday afternoon, getting closer and closer. A lot of folks heading out to San Antonio. And we were talking just here during the break. A lot of students that are going. Students got a great deal. They got great deals, I believe, on their tickets. And I don't blame any student who or anybody who has the opportunity and takes advantage of it for heading out to San Antonio. But one of the things that we were talking about saw where someone was saying their son is a senior, and he got tickets to the Final Four, and one of his professors is giving a test on Monday. He went to the professor and said, asked the professor what he could do, and the professor said, you either take the test or you get an F. And the student said, well, I guess if Auburn wins, I guess I'm getting an F. Because, I mean, it'd be tough. Yeah, it would really be tough.
Come on.
I would hope that you could work with the student and understand that these opportunities don't come along. Because Auburn was there a few years back,
it's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee. You're absolutely right. No guarantees.
That professor needs to get a life.
Just reschedule. Reschedule. We're not calling for school to be closed or anything like that.
It might as well be if they're in it Monday night, I guarantee you. Tuesday morning.
No, you're probably right.
Tuesday
morning classes.
Yeah.
Don't expect those.
Please.
Drew, you're going to be there to record Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
Drew was saying one of the professors that that he was recording today was saying, asked students how many of them were going to San Antonio, and a lot of them raised their hands. And he said, well, we're still having class tomorrow.
Crazy.
Well, it'll be without them. I can guarantee you that.
Crazy.
All right. We'll take your calls and talk more about that and much more. But right now, we're going to head to the Drive Hotline. Welcome in our regular Thursday afternoon guest from WGOW in Chattanooga and the Chattanooga Times Free Press, and that's David Pascal. Hey, David, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Doing fine. Heading out to San Antonio with the whole family, as a matter of fact, early tomorrow morning.
Well, that is a treat. I was hoping, selfishly hoping that Tennessee would beat Houston. Obviously, that wasn't much of a ball game, because then it could be fun to go out there and cover the team I cover with Tennessee, but also get to watch my alma mater play.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, 15 points in the first half for the Vols against Houston.
Yeah, it's interesting because I kind of – those metrics really don't lie when you start looking at a lot of that KenPom stuff. And Houston was the only team that was higher rated than Tennessee on both ends of the floor, both offensively and defensively. So it just kind of shows you that they were just a little bit better in every way. That is a team that flat out gets after you. And Tennessee just really looked tight at the beginning. And wow. I mean, even the television numbers of that, it was the lowest rated Elite Eight Sunday game in like 15 years, whereas the Auburn-Michigan State game that came on afterwards had really healthy ratings. I mean, it was a difference in almost 5 million viewers in those two ball games, which is really rare, but I think a lot of people just turned on that Tennessee-Houston game and saw 19-6 and 27-8, and they were like, no thanks.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But we've talked about it, and people have been, writing and talking about it. It's hard to argue that this isn't, even though there was so much chalk, maybe because there was so much chalk, that this is one of the best Final Four groupings that we've ever seen. I mean, of course, it's only the second time that there have been all four number one seeds there. And it's very interesting to me that both those times the Final Four has been in San Antonio. But these four teams, when you look at the Elite Eight, and you had four number one seeds, 3-2 seeds, and a 3 seed, that obviously the committee did some things right this time. But of these four teams, I mean, we're looking, there's not an overwhelming favorite there. Yeah, there are favorites, but there's nobody who is a really, really dark horse, long shot. Bruce Pearl, I think, loves the fact that Auburn may be considered the longest, you know, may have the longest odds, because he loves to play that underdog role. But I don't think there's anyone who would be terribly surprised at any of the four teams winning it all.
No, I wouldn't either. And I think it's interesting that even though Auburn, and y'all know this, even though Auburn was the top overall seed based on its resume, which is one of the great historical resumes, given mm-hmm. their number of quad one wins, you know, a lot of people questioned Auburn being the top overall seed. And it is just kind of interesting that if you look at the odds, Auburn is the long shot now of the four teams that are left. It's interesting. I picked, before the tournament, I picked Florida to win it. But Florida is probably of the Final Four teams the most fortunate to be there. I mean,
you're right about
they
that.
Were very they were very fortunate against UConn, and you mentioned the seeding. I mean, that 1-3 seed that got to the Elite Eight should probably be in the Final Four. I mean, Texas Tech of all the teams in the tournament has to be the one that just really has to be kicking themselves over an outcome, given how they had that Florida game won and how they missed those front ends of the 1-1 and. But you know, it's interesting right now because it is hard to say. I mean, it's hard to find a team that's playing better than Duke right now.
That's right.
That one was one that just shocked me that was 15-5 out of the gate when I sat down to watch that Duke Alabama game, and it only got worse from there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they have really played. I mean, the thing is, they've got, well, they have three projected top 10 picks that are all freshmen there, so it's not shocking that they would be better later in the season, and really sort of, I think they have a better chemistry among each other. Whereas you look at the other teams that are here in the Final Four, there are more guys that have been playing together for a longer time.
Yeah, and it's you know, I kind of wondered how this would all shake out when Duke beat Auburn in Cameron, because there was that possibility. You know, you always heard that, I mean, because of Duke's youth, did they have a higher ceiling? And you could say that Auburn, like late in the regular season, you know, had Auburn improved compared to how they were playing in January and February. But it does seem like when you look at the last 10 minutes of the Creighton game, you look at that 34-8 run that they went on against Michigan and just how they looked against Michigan State. I know most of that damage was done in the first half. It does seem like Auburn has caught a little bit of a second wind to its credit.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you there. I think some people may not have noticed that, but I think Auburn is playing more like they played when they were really rolling, just running through people in the SEC and that non-conference, where they distribute the ball. I saw better ball movement. I saw you know, better closeouts on defense toward shooters, toward three-point shooters, and a better job of defensive rebounding. And those are some of the things that were so important to Auburn when they moved to that number one spot and were able to hold it as long as they did. And Jahni Broome, I mean, was fabulous the last couple of ball games, and then it was like a story. It was like a remaking of the Willis Reed story. When he left the ball game, everybody could see him saying, "I'm done." And then he comes back in, pulls down a one-armed rebound, and hits a three that was the final nail in the coffin for Michigan State.
I think, and what you're just recreating there, I think will go down as one of the great moments in Auburn athletic lore.
Absolutely.
I mean, I really do. I mean, you're talking about a guy that goes in the locker room, and you're just, I mean, I'm sure I thought what every Auburn fan and every Auburn graduate was thinking. I was like, oh, my gosh. Auburn in 2019
yep.
was the hottest team in the tournament and lost to Mo Kiki, and now they've lost their best player again, you know, in the tournament. And so, but for him to come out and, you know, with one arm just basically hanging, and for him to pass the ball off and get set, get the ball back and drain that three, and just how loud of a roar that was in Atlanta. That is one of those, it really is just one of those great all-time memories. And, you know, this has just been a team, I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I was concerned that, and Pearl even talked about it after one of the games, how they were becoming too reliant on Broome. And if you just remember that 2022 team, as good as it was, you know, when they got down the stretch, they just really started relying on Jabari Smith.
Right.
And they were panicking late in the shot clock and like, let's get it to Jabari. He's going to save us. He's going to save us. And the supporting cast wasn't doing its share. And you started to see that late in the regular season when they dropped those two games. But the rebirth of Chaney Johnson, just the absolute eruption of Todd Pettiford, two guys that had some slumps late in the season, that has been just huge for them in this tournament.
Yeah, Tahad Pettiford has just been phenomenal. It seems like in the biggest games, on the biggest stages, he is as cool a customer as you're going to find. You know, at times you're like, oh, don't let that one go, but he's able to make it. But his ability to split defenders, get into the lane, and put up that little, you know, 8 to 10 foot floater with his right hand, and he's left-handed. He's deadly with that. He's really been a huge factor for Auburn, giving them scoring from another area. We were talking a while ago, if Miles Kelly, Denver Jones, or a couple of guys. Miles had a pretty good game against Florida at Neville, but if one or both of those guys can heat up a little bit, then Auburn can go ahead and make the run all the way through Monday.
Well, and of course, the one guy we really hadn't touched on yet is Chad Baker-Mazzaro, and I think he becomes an interesting piece because even though he did hit a big three the other day, I do think he's a guy that still seems a little – I don't know what the right word – he's a hard guy to describe. But, you know, he had a moment the other night where he you know, when Auburn was at the stage without knowing what Broome was going to do, and you just kind of – if you're Auburn, you want to peel 20 or 30 seconds off the clock when you've got that lead – you know, when he drives to the basket one on two and misses the layup. And so, you know, he's such a big key because he can do so much. You just want to make sure he's making the right decision.
Oh, there's no question. And he can help or hurt Auburn in so many different ways. That's the best way to put it. I mean, offensively, defensively, he can pass, he can handle the ball. Defensively, he's got those, you know, He's 6'7", but I swear he's got a 7'2" reach. I mean, he's got ridiculously long arms. But then, yes, at times, that was I think you were being kind when you said one-on-two. It looked like one-on-three or four the other day, and it's like, no, no, run some clock. But you know, he's a guy that Auburn really needs. They need his energy. He at least has gotten back to that a little bit more. You know, you try to keep him – yeah, you hope you can keep the reins on him as much as possible, but you've got to let him be him.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about just this matchup Saturday, you know, you can argue that inside Broome is the best player on either team, but I mean, and you know, one kind of wild card, everybody's talking about the health of Broome. I'm not sure if Condon's 100% for Florida either.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a big factor inside. I mean, I really like Florida's inside pieces. I think,
oh, they've got so many of them. I mean, Hawk.
They do, and I think Condon's a heck of a player, and the Hawk kid has just been, you know, he's the guy that can drift out to three and drain them.
He had a big ball game against Auburn and Neville, and they didn't even have Hanlog, when they played at Auburn.
And so I think Florida can kind of hold its own with Auburn in the middle, which is saying something when Auburn's got the player of the year candidate there, like they do. But so the key to me is just on that perimeter. I mean, Walter Clayton is playing so good. And, I mean, you talk about, even though I'm saying that Texas Tech, there's a huge element to where they gag that game away. I mean, you're Walter Clayton with a minute left, and you dribble the ball out to the three-point line, turn around and drain it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a heck of a shot. And he's a special player. Richard's good. Elijah Martin's good. Aberdeen can have his moments. I mean, that's just a really good – that's just a really well-built team, as is Auburn. It's just that Florida sometimes even seems to be a little deeper than Auburn's team sometimes.
They are right now. I agree with you. And Martin's another guy that didn't play against Auburn at Neville Arena. So no question, I mean, their work is really cut out for them. But, again, like we were saying a little earlier – There's no question. I think Bruce Pearl likes being in this type situation where they're the underdog. They're expected because Florida beat them at Auburn. I mean, Auburn's got that little bit of a revenge. I mean, he loves to have that chip that he can put on the players' shoulders and have them play with it, and he's definitely got it for this one.
Well, I mean, and if history repeats, because let's face it, last season in Gainesville, I mean, Florida pulled Auburn's pants down, and then in Nashville in the rematch, Auburn got them. So, it's a treat. I mean, speaking as an Auburn graduate, I've said it before, my freshman year was Person and Morris and Ford and White, that run to the Elite Eight, and I didn't think it would ever get any better for Auburn basketball at that point than an Elite Eight run. And now to be in the Final Four twice in 6 years is just, it's just absolutely remarkable. And it's an interesting dynamic covering Tennessee and having gone to Auburn because, you know, through the years, Tennessee's had more success than Auburn. It's just the Elite Eight is an absolute wall for Tennessee. They can't break through. Did you know that the only charter members of the SEC that haven't been to the Final Four that are still in the league? Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt.
Wow, I would have guessed. I would have figured, you know, Tennessee sure feels like they should have, and I wouldn't have been shocked if Andy had made it. So, wow, I did not realize that.
And even the two teams that came aboard in 92, Arkansas and South Carolina, have both been to Final Four. Arkansas, a bunch of them.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, I did not realize that. So, that's crazy.
An interesting dynamic just because Tennessee's had the best four-year run it's ever had. And, of course, Auburn's having the best run it's ever had. And who would have ever thought that Auburn would have been to two Final Fours since Kentucky's been to its last one?
Nobody. Like when you were talking about you didn't think it'd get any better, and I didn't either. But, hey, that's been more than three decades ago. So, I mean, coming up on four decades. So yeah, it took a while. It took a while to get better than that. But that's where it is right now. Hey, I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the coaching moves. It sure seemed, first of all, how surprised were you at the Buzz Williams leaving Texas A&M? And then I was probably more surprised when Chris Beard decided not to go to Texas A&M and stay at Ole Miss.
Yeah, the Buzz Williams dynamic is so strange because, I mean, there have now been multiple times in his career where you're like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, his first big move was going from Marquette to Virginia Tech. I mean, when I think of Marquette, I mean, there's some basketball tradition there.
National oh, yeah, all the way back to Al McGuire. I mean, yeah.
Exactly. And then the Final Four with D-Wade. And then Virginia Tech is just – they've never been – I mean, the best that gets in basketball for Virginia Tech is being on the NCAA bubble. I mean, it seemed like Seth Greenberg was always the coach on the bubble. You think about 6 years in the Big East, 5 years in the ACC, 6 years in the SEC – now he's got a six-year deal in the Big Ten, so really the only thing left for him to do is like have a 5 or 6 year run in the Big 12, and he will have like knocked out all the big leagues. And
now maybe that's the plan. Maybe that was the.
Maybe it
that
may
was the,
be.
Yeah.
It really that is a really weird dynamic, and selfishly speaking as an Auburn graduate, I was glad they got taken.
Oh,
out.
I don't know an Auburn fan that isn't thrilled.
But I mean, I was glad they got taken out of the tournament because you know that's always a tough matchup for Auburn. What are they 2-6 in their last 8 against Texas A&M or whatever?
Yep.
And you know, and I like interviewing Buzz Williams. I think he's a really thoughtful guy to talk to. But I mean, let's face it, they can be tough to watch. He's a guy that always uses his timeouts. Every time Texas A&M plays, you need to budget about 2 hours and 40 minutes. So those games do not flow very well. But I like him as an individual. It's just, yeah, he's got a weird coaching arc. And then as far as Chris Beard, that's Ole Miss is a school that's been burned before by coaches going from one conference school to another. But, that's a neat thing that he's staying there. I think he feels really confident and how much more does he have to win before he's already recognized as the best coach in Ole Miss history? I mean, I know, you know, they've had coaches like Andy Kennedy that have had runs there. But Ole Miss has been to two Sweet 16s ever, and he's got one of them.
Yeah, you're right. And then on the other side, I wonder, you know, what is the problem there at Texas A&M? They have all the resources that anyone, any school could ever want. Yet they're running through coaches like crazy in every sport.
Yeah, they are. They are. You lose your baseball coach to Texas after while he's got you in the College World Series Championship Series. Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic. You always hear about the financial resources that place has, but their teams and their only national championship in football was like back in 1939. Their basketball history is not great. It is. It's an interesting dynamic for sure. You could argue that two of the head scratchers in SEC basketball right now are the two Texas schools. I mean, why are they both not better?
Well, Texas has a new coach in Sean Miller, and now A&M's looking for one. And the pressure is sort of on them. All right, go out and get somebody even better. I know there were a lot of A&M people that felt like, well, they weren't getting as far as they wanted with Buzz, but all right, good luck finding somebody better.
I know. I think he is a good – and that's just always the dynamic. I think there's a good coach. Do you find – I mean – I think Auburn kind of went with that with Malzahn. I mean, Gus Malzahn was a good coach, mm-hmm. and they, did Auburn find a better one? No, they didn't. You try to, but it doesn't always work out that way. So we'll see if Texas A&M finds a coach better than Buzz Williams.
Yeah, going to be really interesting. There's going to be an awful lot happening here with the House versus NCAA settlement. Let's see if that is finalized on Monday. The transfer portal, coaching moves. It is a crazy, crazy time. There's plenty for us to be following in addition, obviously, to the Final Four. And David, I know you guys are spending a lot of time talking about all that. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, we're in a world right now where Auburn's getting ready to play a Final Four game, and they just got the Big 12's leading score.
Right.
Yeah, timesfreepress.com for the articles, and WGOW is Sport Talk, and we're 2 to 5 Central.
Great. David, you mind if we just sort of do a wrap next Thursday?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Hopefully there's some pleasant stuff to talk about.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not back in town until Wednesday. So if that's the case, it will be tons of fun. Thanks again.
Enjoy the trip. I have never been to San Antonio.
Neither have I.
A lot of people say it is the nicest city in Texas. I was hoping to get spoiled because I went to Omaha in June. I went to Ohio State for the first time in December. And then I was hoping I was one game away from getting to go to San Antonio for the first time. So you can't get to go to everything. But have fun for me. I'm glad you get to go.
Oh, we're really looking forward to it. Thanks, David. Have a great weekend.
All right, you do the same.
David Paschal joining us as he does on Thursdays. I didn't want to sort of let David down and go, yeah. David, you could go just like I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going on my dime. But no, I mean, just the opportunity to go is
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
All right, we'll get to our first break. We're going to open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron.
Bill and Coach Don here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Let's get to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Bill, since you're leaving early tomorrow, is there going to be a drive tomorrow?
There will be a drive. It will probably be while I'm driving or riding, I'll be calling in. Don's going to come into the studio. We're landing. We're scheduled to land in Houston around 1:30, and then we're driving over. So we'll be en route. We'll be in a vehicle between Houston and San Antonio when the show starts. We should arrive in San Antonio, pretty early in the show.
Okay. So you're not going to have to, I remember your phone booth.
God, I hope not. I hope I don't have to do something like that again. No, I'm hoping there's cell service.
Hey, Mitch, I just hope he gets on. Can you imagine me trying to run this thing by myself? Good Lord.
Well, hey, call me. I've got diarrhea in the mouth.
Dan said he'd call in, but, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I was gonna say I sent him some good luck via text last night. I didn't get to listen to it or anything, but I'm glad that they won.
It was a heck of a game.
Yeah, no kidding. 99-96 they won last night.
And it wasn't in overtime, was it?
No, no. Yeah, so that's what they – yeah, so they won one, you know, comfortably, 99-96, coming from behind in the fourth quarter after back-to-back overtime wins.
Wow. Dang. I kind of – that's a lot of points for a women's game.
It's a lot of points, period. Yeah, hey, you know what? You know what they do? And that's something, and we've talked about it a little, and I heard Jay Billis talking about this as well. College basketball's got to go to the quarters. I mean, it's the only basketball at any level that doesn't play using quarters, just going halves. And I don't know if you remember this, Mitch. College basketball used to play quarters. Years and years ago, they played quarters. I don't know what the brilliant idea to switch to 20-minute halves was.
I don't either. I don't quite understand because I hadn't looked into it when it comes to, like, you know, with 20 minutes of basketball, you know, if you commit 7 fouls, you're in the bonus. If you commit 10, you're in the double bonus. How do they do it with quarters?
Quarters, 5, you're in the bonus. But it starts over. Okay. See, that the good thing is it starts over each quarter.
Ah, okay.
So you don't have teams. It's just because somebody gets in the bonus in the first quarter doesn't mean they're not going to stay in it for the rest of the half. It's going to go back and start over in the second quarter.
Okay. Well, I like that. I like that because didn't we play a game a few weeks ago where somebody was in the bonus with 13 minutes to go in the half? So, yeah, that's ridiculous anyway. But I've been wanting to speak about this because as soon as I saw Bama shoot all those threes, score 113 points, I was like, there's no way they're going to be able to replicate that against Duke. There's just no way, and they lost by 20. So and I even heard some local guys down here saying, it's like, do you think they shot themselves out of the Final Four with that game against BYU? Would they hit 26?
25 for 51 is what they went.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That may have been part of it. The other thing was BYU didn't really contest a lot of those threes.
That's true because they both play the same style of basketball. But yeah, and Duke does not play that style of basketball. So I you know, what little I know about basketball, it's like there's no way they're going to be able to replicate that, especially against Duke, the way they are and everything. But speaking of the Final Four, I would love to see us beat Florida to avenge the loss at Neville and then get a rematch with Duke and beat them. You know, yep. I'd much rather beat them in the final game than have beaten them at Cameron. Cameron would have been great, but I'd much rather have this one, you know.
Yeah, and that's I said that earlier. I think that's what Auburn fans, if you could just draw it up the perfect ending would be avenge the losses to Florida and Duke and your national champs. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that would be outstanding. Now, Coach, you do anything special cooking wise at the house this weekend?
You know what? That's a good question. I was thinking about that early this morning. I may do some, try to smoke some wings. That's a great question. I got to get busy. Nothing special, but
what about
probably
you,
wings.
Again?
What about you?
I hadn't decided yet, but I got a freezer. We've got a second refrigerator now in the garage, so I've got way more freezer space, so I've got all kinds of options. I've got ribs. I went to this place in Pensacola. It's called the Butcher Shop.
Yeah.
And Coach, I got a Wagyu A9 brisket flat.
Wow.
You want to see some marbling?
I bet.
The meat?
I bet.
Oh yeah. So I, you know what? I might do that. I might pull that brisket out and do that this weekend. I hadn't decided. Like I said, I got tons of options with all the freezer space I have now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
let
me know how that goes, man.
Oh, I will. I definitely will. Well, Bill, have a great trip. Coach, I'll be listening to you tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, if you need some help,
they may reach out if I have trouble. you need to call in and we'll talk for a long time.
All right, Mitch. Appreciate it, man.
All right, we can talk cooking, Coach. All right.
For sure. Yeah, why not? All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got a special Tiger Takes with Dylan Cardwell coming up on the other side. So stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Second hour of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we're very pleased to have a special edition of Tiger Takes, Basketball Tiger Takes, with Dylan Cardwell today, as Jacob Goins had a chance to catch up with the Auburn Senior Center.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We continue with Basketball Tiger Takes, and this one is Final Four edition. That's right. We sit down with Auburn Basketball Center Dylan Cardwell. He joins us here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. You can make your next reservation online at 12ksalon.net. Dylan, I know better than to ask how you're doing, my man. You got to be on cloud nine, on top of the world. You guys are going to the Final Four.
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing. It's a great feeling, and you know, it's a testament to all our hard work.
Well, it's been an incredible season to watch you guys go all the way through what was a crazy non-conference schedule, and then, of course, SEC play was wild, SEC tournament, and then here in the NCAA tournament, it's flown by. The win over Alabama State by 20, the win over Creighton, a tough matchup against Michigan, and then you beat Michigan State to get to the Final Four. Walk us through what the journey's been like so far through the NCAA tournament through the first four games.
Yeah, man, it's been a great process. It's also been a grind. You know, it's funny because the games are so hard. Don't get me wrong, the games are very hard. But after the games, you know, you look back and you're like, man, like getting as far as like it seems like it's hard, but it's like it's pretty easy.
But, what?
You know, I'm only saying in hindsight, because obviously it's my first time past the first round.
Sure.
So I don't know, like I said, it's just an unreal feeling.
So, wait, hold on. Is it hard or is it easy? I'm sure the games are hard, but you said, man, is it because this team is just so good? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. It's insanely hard. Don't get me wrong. It's insanely hard. Obviously, you see these are really hard games. But it's like when they start to fly by, you'd be like, huh, like that was pretty easy, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
it's a misconception.
Okay, well, I think there's a lot of credit to be given to you and your squad, which makes that so. I mean, you guys are the number one overall seed for a reason, my man.
Yeah. Now, these games just fly by. So, that's why it feels the way it does. But in the process and getting ready for these games, then they do seem pretty tough.
Well, you flash back a little bit to the first game in Atlanta. You take on Michigan in the Sweet 16, and then you take on Michigan State in the Elite Eight. Before we talk about the games in particular, what was it like to play back in State Farm Arena in Atlanta in front of a ton of Auburn fans? What was it like to play NCAA tournament games there?
Best feeling ever. Best feeling ever, man. That was something I'll never forget. Something I'll cherish forever. So.
And I'm sure it was cool to have all the fans there. I mean, did it truly feel like a home court environment, a home court atmosphere in those two games?
It was like 90-10. So, yeah, it was a crazy feeling. It felt way better than a home game.
There you go. Well, hey, you beat Michigan in the Sweet 16, and there were so many storylines there with that game. Of course, going up against Trey Donaldson, former point guard here at Auburn, and Harrell on the staff. I mean, what was it about the Michigan matchup that you guys felt so good about walking away with a win 78-65 back in the Sweet 16?
Well, you know, Janai and I told ourselves every game we're the best front court in the country, and it was time to prove it. You know, we wanted that matchup. We had a bunch of, you know, motivation, because all everybody talked about was those Michigan bigs. Those Michigan bigs are great, but you know, we truly believe we're the best front court in the country, and this is another opportunity to prove it. So that's kind of what made us walk away so confident, was knowing that we had the best front court in the country.
And you win 78-65 in the Sweet 16. You turn around 2 days later, and you're going up against a Michigan State team, Dylan, that's coached by Tom Izzo. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Didn't maybe have the bigs, but they had the guards, and you guys came out and really punched him in the mouth early and never looked back, 70-64. Walk us through what that game was like for you and your squad.
Yeah, man, that game was just so crazy. It was just a crazy feeling. I didn't expect Janai to get off how he did, but I knew when he got on the bus that it was going to be a crazy game. He's wearing some Meta glasses. So he wore some Men in Black Meta glasses. I'm like, yeah, he's going for 40. And so
I think if he doesn't get hurt, he probably does go for 40, right, Dylan? I mean, I know
most
that had to have been a scary moment when one of your guys goes down, and not just any of them. It was Janai. It was a guy who was fighting for Player of the Year. I mean, what was the message at that moment when he walked back to the locker room and you guys still had to try and play a basketball game?
Yeah, for me, it was just another day in the office. You know, he went down against South Carolina, so he'd been without him, so I didn't really feel much. I didn't really feel much.
And then when he comes back, it was out of a movie, man. It was a cinematic moment. Comes out of the locker room, points at the table, steps in, gets a one-handed rebound, and then steps up and knocks down one of the biggest threes in Auburn basketball history, man. Did you guys celebrate that a little bit in the locker room? I mean, that was a big-time moment for number four.
That was one of the biggest shots in Auburn history. So it was just crazy.
And then you get to cut down the nets against Michigan State. How was that for you, my man, to cut down the nets after beating Michigan State, winning in the Elite Eight, and moving on to your first Final Four?
Yeah, it was rewarding. It was like one of those things, just like, man, finally. You know, like, I've always just been, like, flirting with, you know, great teams and, you know, dominating, and we just never got close. And so it was like a fresh air, like I could finally breathe, you know.
Yeah, we're talking with Dylan Cardwell from Auburn Basketball here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes. It's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. And now it's down to four. It's all 4-1 seeds, Dylan. It's only happened twice in the history of this college basketball tournament. I mean, I think, and you can speak to this if you would, just how good college basketball was. And the teams at the top are just that dominant.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the best years. You know, in all of basketball, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
And taking on Florida, walk us through it. Tell us what you're thinking. You saw this team once. They came to Neville Arena, and they got us that game. And the only one you've seen them this year, they're playing really, really good basketball. It's an SEC Final Four matchup with the Gators on Saturday.
Yeah, they're just in the way. Simple as that. I don't care if they beat us before, they're just in the way. So
they're just in the way. What is it about that team? Talk about some of the matchups and some of the things that you guys are going over this week in preparation for that Florida squad. And maybe you're going back to the first game and taking some things from that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the first game was just completely uncharacteristic. They're one of the one teams in the country that can really just make you pay for any gamble or mistake that you make. And so we just know moving forward, we got to be more conservative on defense while being aggressive. And we're ready to dominate.
And that Florida team, man, they've got a lot of dudes. They've got some guys on that squad that are playing really, really good. Of course, Walter Clayton Jr., who is their leading scorer at the guard spot. You're talking about Will Richard at the guard spot, Alex Condon. I mean, guys like that on that team who have carried them all the way to the Final Four. But, Dylan, I got to ask you in particular, because all the way through this tournament, and even back in the regular season, teams were running, and they continue to do it, high pick and rolls. They get the switch so they can get you guarding a point guard. I guess they haven't figured out that you can guard the point guards. Have they not figured that part out yet, that you can guard 1-5?
Yeah, they don't do their homework at all.
It's so pretty impressive, man. It really is.
Yeah, I don't understand who's doing the scouting reports. I don't know why they keep trying to, you know, get me on the island, but I love it. So, just, you know, allows me to put more of my guarding ability on film, on tape, on camera.
I mean, you legitimately, as we talk about it all the time here on ESPN, you can guard 1-5, and Michigan State did it time and time again, and you just continue to hold your ground, and the rest of your squad does too, and it's the defense that gets you guys going. I mean, whether it's the steals or blocks or just solid defensive possessions, and then you get out and run, you build the momentum, and that's what makes you so dangerous. But I'm sure Florida is that way too. I'm sure you guys are looking at that right now.
Like I said, we haven't really got to scout them yet because we're so far, but we're prepared for matchup.
Well, you guys heading to San Antonio. You'll be heading out this week, of course, with the game on Saturday. Possible national championship game on Monday. Other than the game itself, do you have any idea what the schedule looks like, the things you guys are going to be able to do? There's a lot of, you know, a lot of events and ceremonies going on around the Final Four.
Yeah. We're just going to stay focused. We don't really care too much about the events. We can all come back to San Antonio and have a good time. We're here in the national championship.
There you go. Auburn and Florida on Saturday night. That's at 5:09. And then a potential national championship game would be on Monday against either Duke or Houston, who I'm sure you saw, Dylan. They looked really, really good in their games as well. Duke and Houston, all one seeds in the Final Four.
Yep. Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. We got to take care of business this week.
There you go. Well, hey, man, safe travels to you and the team. We appreciate your time. I know you got to go and do your things before you guys head out. And so, again, Dylan Cardwell, Auburn Basketball, joining us here on ESPN 106.7 for Tiger Takes Final Four Edition. We'll be cheering you on here from Auburn, Dylan. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Where we go?
Special edition of Tiger Takes brought to you, as usual, by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Call to book your next appointment at 334-209-2900. We'll get to our final break. Come on, stick with us, and you can join us, as a matter of fact, here in the final segment, which is coming up.
Remember when you would dream about what